welcome to the Wally Show After Castle, the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today, including a little announcement about Netflix and some other serious stuff. Betty Rock, originally we were talking about doing things in the aftercast. Is there anything that you've prepared for the aftercast today other than what we normally talk about? Any of the extra stuff that you were talking about earlier?
Like from the potty? No.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Oh, wait. I guess we could because I didn't, some of it I don't have to pull. Okay. I wasn't prepared.
Sorry. No, I'm throwing it at you, honestly. Okay. Like, because I wasn't sure if you wanted to go ahead and lead with that, because I thought it'd be fun if you had it. You're like Bob's Burgers when she's trying to drive.
So we can, I mean, we don't have to pull this audio, so I think this will be fine. So on our potty group, you can always join when you text potty to 91979, and you can join on Facebook.
And it's P-O-D-D-I-E. Yeah. Most potties know that, but every once in a while we get somebody new.
So just yesterday on the aftercast, we had been talking about how the McDonald's Big Mac. It they're changing up the formula, and eventually we got on the topic that I like to order my fries and my chicken, anything pretty much, well done. Mm. And you were getting on my case, being like, it slows the line
down. It does slow
down. Like, I don't want to be that guy, but you are that guy that complains about everything. And so Robert brought up a great point that he posted in our potty group. He said, did Wally really say he's not that guy that would order well-done fries? Isn't he the one that asked for his Starbucks to be a specific degree? Again. And that is true. He wants it to be at kid temp. But I'm telling you, even worse is his Dunkin' order, because that coffee will slow a line
down. Pretty
outrageous.
Mm.
We had a Dunkin' moment today, too.
Oh, man.
But you're getting off the point.
I am. I'll get to that in a second.
I'm just saying that your order is high maintenance.
My order, there are times, too, that I like will alter my order and take one of the things off just because even I feel guilty doing it. And then I'm like, well, it's dumb. This is what they live for, is to get me the coffee that I want.
It's their job.
So then why should I have every right then to be like, can I get well done fries?
It's different. That sounds worse. Like, that just sounds pretentious.
Sounds pretentious.
Yeah. And it's going to actually slow everybody down because they're like holding up the whole fryer for you.
Well, they're holding up the sugar line for you, the
caramel
foam line, the caramel line.
So today was a bad day. And trust me, I am going to write my compassion kit about this later and explain to them what happened. And hopefully they will feel just as bad for me. But every once in a while, we'll run out and get breakfast. And Gavin will get us ahead so we can keep going. And then he'll go make the run. And so he went to the same Dunkin' that we always have problems. There's a Dunkin' right around the corner from us. And we love it. But it is the worst Dunkin' in the country. I would challenge you to find a less prepared and more inefficient Dunkin' in the country. I don't think you can.
Yeah. They're always out of everything.
Yeah. I think it's either slightly tied to a business running perspective or it's tied to the actual employees that are there. And I feel cautious about criticizing people who work in whatever field they work in, because I've never I've never stood in their shoes. I've never worked fast food, so I don't feel great about judging it. But even on a day like today, I'm up there and I'm ordering the food items for Betty and I, and then I order the complicated Wally order, and I'm like, hey, this is what they need. She's looking up and down, you know, eyeball to the top to the floor, and she's like, oh, we're out of the liquid cane sugar, which just anything that's off on this order makes it off in your heart.
It makes it not good. Yeah, you cannot put regular granular sugar in there. It doesn't work.
And I'm the high maintenance one.
That's very true. It doesn't taste right. Yeah. The beast is designed.
That's what he calls his drink, the beast.
Right, because it has six caramel, six liquid cane sugar, and six cream.
So beasty.
It is. It's good, but it has to be in that formula.
And two, like, this is not the first time they've wronged us.
No.
Like, in the past, it's been we don't have cold foam, or we don't have gloves, or
They were out of coffee once.
One time they just weren't there, too.
Yes, that's right. We ordered on the app and no one would came to work that day.
But this one was like extra annoying in my brain because I'm sitting there, I can't get your coffee order, but I'm still waiting on our food order. So I go and I sit down. You know, there's only two people working. There's a lot of lines. There's a lot of people. I'm like, okay, they're busy. And so I look down. I'm like, oh, it's been like 7 or 8 minutes.
We're running out of time because we needed you back for a bit.
I got to go check and see if they've done anything yet. I'm like, hey guys, like, I ordered this and this a little while ago, and they both look at each other and they're like, I thought you were gonna make it.
Oh my gosh.
And kind of they both do this little, like, you know, sassy little like, ugh, at each other. And then one of them decides to go make it. And I was going to go run across the street
to get
a McDonald's Coke. But by this point, you're like, don't even go get that.
I'm like, just come back, because we were getting ready to go into a bit where we needed everybody, all hands on deck.
Yeah. So I was gone for like half an hour.
Yeah, for something that should take literally 5 minutes. But so while you were gone, though.
First world problem.
I know, absolutely. And while you were gone, though, I finally was like, you know what? I've had enough. And it's not like I want to rat somebody out, but I called Dunkin' Donuts Corporate, and I got a hold of
Zora. We've had enough issues.
Yeah, and my point, though, was not like, oh, Zora, I'm just going to complain so that I get something out of this. That wasn't my point. My point is maybe the owner doesn't know what's going on, or maybe he doesn't. He's not good at his job. Whatever it is, they are affecting the company, and the company is going to lose money. And so I'm like, I want to talk to somebody. Here's what my problems have been, and this way maybe you can address them so that you can actually be a better company, you know. And Betty heard the whole conversation.
Yes, he was very nice, very cordial.
I was kind of funny and engaging sometimes.
Kind of
too
funny,
a little gregarious, even made Zora laugh.
So they can't necessarily sit there and say, oh, we just had an annoying customer call us,
right,
and make a problem, and
right,
they're the problem.
Because that's the thing. If you call somebody and you want something and you go at them hardcore, A, usually the person you're talking to isn't the decision maker, and they're not going to be able to change it anyway. And B, you're just yelling and you get tuned out. And so for me, and then taking it from the business side of things, going, look, if I was the business owner, I would want to know if my people were not doing their job.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so I hopefully in 2 days, within 2 days, I'll have a call back from the district manager. And so that'll be
okay,
lovely.
Okay, Karen.
I'll let you know. I know. See, it feels very Karen-y, but I'm trying to make them better.
Yeah.
Someone needs to know.
Which will benefit us, because that one, we can go to another Dunkin', but it's pretty far away from us, and it's not going to be as worth it. They're just going to lose three pretty well-paying customers on the weekly sometimes.
Because they have raised all their prices, so, and you get worse service. So anyway, so that's that. Netflix announced Tuesday that it is going to be sending its last red envelope.
Oh, wow.
Well, who's doing that
they
anyway?
They are still doing. There are people in rural parts of the world, I think, that are still doing
crazy.
That. After 25 years, I didn't know they'd been around that long. It doesn't feel like it, does it?
Yeah, no.
If somebody said, oh, hey, Blockbuster's doing their last thing, you'd be like, they've been around forever, which they only have one store left.
Mm-hmm.
But Netflix didn't feel that long. So Netflix began sending rented DVDs back in April of 1998. So the year my daughter was born. Now, people know the first song that was played on MTV. Do you guys know what that song is?
Wait, don't tell me.
I think you know it.
Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody.
No.
Oh,
I'm so disappointed. Gavin?
I didn't have a guess.
Maybe if I tell you the band, it'll help. The Buggles.
Oh, what?
That's not helping.
Nope.
No.
Video killed the radio star.
Oh, how
funny.
Appropriate.
Yeah, so it was the Buggles. That was the first song, the first video that was ever played on MTV. Who knew all these years later they'd stop playing music videos? But what do you think was the first DVD movie, or the first movie? Because I think back then, I guess it was always... Was it DVDs always, or was it VHS too? I think it was always DVDs.
Yeah, I think so.
Because VHS would be too hard to send back. What do you think was the first movie they sent out in 1998?
Oh, wow.
Notting Hill.
Okay.
Final answer.
Is that got Hugh Grant in it?
Yes.
Okay.
1998, would we be in the You've Got Mail category?
I don't know.
Or is that
earlier? I'm honestly making... total guess.
Yeah. Both good guesses. I'll give you a hint of this starred Michael Keaton.
Oh, what is Batman? No.
I don't know who that is.
Michael Keaton?
I know the name, but I can't put a face with him.
Oh, well, you'll definitely know when I tell you the movie. And one of the outfits he wore was black and white striped.
The Joker.
Nope.
Oh, was he Beetlejuice?
Yes, he was Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so that was the first Netflix movie.
First Netflix movie mailed out was Beetlejuice.
That's a rough movie in my mind.
They sent out 5.2 billion movies in that time, though. Since then they've sent out? Like that
billion?
25 years, 5.2 billion movies were sent back and forth.
I
so
wonder
that's crazy.
when that number truly started to dip, because sometimes it feels like we've been doing streaming forever.
But it's not that long.
But it's not really been that long. And there's a time when it was competing with like Redbox and other places
like
that.
Yeah, and they still have Redboxes. Uh-huh. My wife the other day, she was like, do you want to do a Redbox? And I'm like, what?
Yeah, why?
Why would we do that? We have 8 streaming services. I'm like, if we don't have it, we can just rent it. And then we looked up the movie to rent, and normally, you know, it's like, oh, $4.99 or whatever. Yeah. But it was like $19.99. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that's dumb. We should have gone to Redbox. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah. And so I think Netflix was smart though to reinvent themselves and procure content and create content.
Yeah.
Because like before, it was always just these old movies, and I didn't care about watching any of those, but I will watch their new stuff that they create and documentaries. Their documentaries, I think, are really good. Mm-hmm. And so I watch that stuff all the time.
Netflix is even, because in my head, I'm trying to think, like, oh, what's the next, like, evolution? Like, what beyond streaming, what are we doing next? And Netflix has had a few of these, like, choose your own adventure options, which I don't think ultimately has been working insanely well. Like, there's a Bear Grylls thing where you like choose to run away from the bear or confront the bear, or there was this kaleidoscope show where it's like choose your order you want to watch in it.
I don't think
it's hitting well.
They tried it with books, they've tried it with movies. It's just like, all right, well, there's a reason people get paid to write them something well, and we want a story arc. We want it to be a certain way, even though we say we don't. At the end of the day, when it doesn't fit our mental formula, we don't. I'm not a big fan of that either. Lady Rock, what do you got?
Oh, it's my turn. Okay,
it's your turn.
Well, Walker Hayes, you know him from the song.
Oh, love this song. Yeah, we fancy like Applebee's on a date night. Got that Bourbon Street stage. Feels so good. Love me some fancy like.
Well, recently, him and his family, they were invited to go to Rwanda. That's how you say it, right?
I've been there.
Rwanda.
Yeah. Rwanda, yeah.
To pick coffee beans, peel them, and put them in like this bowl and then pound them. Okay. And it took their whole body to grind them up, and then they roasted them. But pretty much they were there to help these people that are underserved and see how it is that they make money and what we take for granted here. They also helped haul water from a distant well to homes and that had no plumbing or electricity. Oh, wow. And while you would think, man, that sounds rough and terrible, he says, quote, the trip was an answer to prayer. Mm. Every day for that entire trip was the best day of my life.
I get that, man. Like, the first time you go and see poverty, like, with compassion, you know, and you see what kids and families live in, the type of environments they live in, it's jarring. And then when you do a little bit of the work that they do just to drive it home, and how long sometimes you walk an hour or an hour and a half to get a heavy jug of water and walk it back, mm-hmm. and just so you can have water to drink that day or cook with. It is startling, and it's a great reminder of, you know, how much we've been given, how blessed we truly are. I'm glad he got to take his kids.
Yes.
Because that's important. I got to take my daughter to Indonesia with me in the beginning of our work with Compassion, and it was so good for her to meet our sponsored kid and then see firsthand the way that Novani lived, you know, and it made an imprint on her.
Yeah, and that's the last trip, you know, everybody, once we got back from Kenya, people were like, well, what's that one thing that stood out? And to me, it was when we met Amos and his family, and they lived in a hut that was made out of mud and cow poop.
Yep.
Like, and that's what they considered home. And it was out in the middle of nowhere. They had a couple of goats, and he walked an hour and a half to get to school, starting at 5 years old. Like, I don't know anyone that would allow their 5-year-old kid to walk an hour and a half to get to school.
Yeah, and there's like actually dangerous animals that he walks to, you know, to
and
school through.
Trees and bushes that have thorns that are at least an inch or two long.
Yeah. And that's the crazy, and why does he do this? Like, he does it so he can go to school, so he can go to the Compassion Project and get fed and get education so he can break the cycle of poverty. And like, that's commitment on his part. Like, people sponsoring kids and taking care of them and helping them get that leg up is so vital. And we love Compassion. We sponsor kids. We all do. And it's like, it's one of those things that you've got that that's going, but then the kid has to invest too, their time and their effort and their energy. Mm-hmm. And when they do, it's just, it all works so perfectly. And we met a lot of kids, adults that were kids in the project. And now they're these amazing adults continuing the work of Compassion as well. And I love it. I can't say enough about them, but I'm glad that Walker got to go and experience that. And Rwanda, the weird thing about Rwanda, it is a beautiful place. Beautiful, like the topography and the landscape. They have a thing where every month you have to clean the street in front of your house. They want it clean. There's no trash bags. You can't have plastic bags there. They want it beautiful. But it was also the place that had one of the most brutal and deadly genocides where the two clans, instigated by an outside third party country, were warred on each other, you know, neighbors against neighbors, and just it's unimaginable
that
what they
went
through. That
one's hard to wrap the brain around.
You can't. Yeah, it'd be like Betty Rock, you walking into your apartment complex and seeing your neighbor who you may have talked to all this time, and then for whatever reason you're in different clans, and you're like, oh, I need to kill you today. Like, literally, that people lost their ever-loving minds, and that, it wasn't military people that were doing all this. It was neighbors and the stories of people and kids being sent into the trees and the woods to hide, you know, and survive on their own. It is so unsettling that that was what they lived through, and they're in a better place now. But it was really interesting when we were there talking to people that had lived through it, and they're like, yeah, on the surface we look great, but they're like, there is still an undercurrent from that that has not healed our country yet. You know, they want to put it out that you have, oh, we're good, we move past, everything's good, but the people that lived that are like, nah, we're still not good.
Yeah, but I think it's always good for anyone who gets the chance to get out of the country and sees a third world country.
Absolutely.
I think it's always a good thing because it puts your perspective differently, like the little things, like when your local Dunkin' doesn't have liquid cane sugar.
Okay.
It kind of puts those things into perspective.
I know you just took that shot at me, but you are speaking from a full stomach today, so you don't know
That's
my
true.
Pain.
Okay.
You got your order. She was funny. She was busting my chops about not getting my order, and I'm like, had the roles been reversed, you would be, and she's like, I know, losing it.
I would. Yeah. I would, for sure.
Oh, man. Well, you got any birthdays for us?
I don't, but I do have a question.
Go.
From Megan.
Get it.
Megan asks, what's your favorite baby kid stage and why? So newborn, toddler, school age.
I think I liked when I learned to walk. No.
You.
Oh, you know, having a, oh boy, that's tough, because I've been through them all.
Yeah.
I think I would have to say when she was like 4 or 5, like that was such a great age because she was like a little person and she could do little things herself, but everything was still, as she was growing, was like a new adventure, and she was amazed by everything. And I was kind of a big deal in her life then, you know, because she needed me. Mm. And now, as long as I send my wallet, she's good. Like, so though, but like, she was my little, we used to call her my little adventure buddy. And like, we would go and on little adventures and do stuff. And it was, I'm going to cry. Like, that was such a great time, man. When I see parents with little kids like that age, I'm like, oh, it's so good. Hang on to this because it does go way too quickly and you are going to miss this.
Yeah.
You know,
and eventually you're going to be paying for a wedding or you're going to be paying for their health insurance, their car bill.
Phone bills.
I know.
Gas money.
I look back at the photos and stuff from that time too, and just how adorable she was and just like innocent.
Was.
Yeah. I mean, because now she's an adult, you know, but like again, everything was new and she was not a hard kid. Like,
no.
My daughter was.
Yeah. You got lucky.
I really did. Like, it could have been like me, but she was so easy. And I love her. I love her so much. Obviously, every stage you do, like, you know, pretty much there are some stages that are nasty, but like, you find the things that you love out of that.
Yeah.
And so to pick one that's your favorite is hard, but I think it would be that 4 and 5 year old was my favorite.
I don't have kids of my own, but I would say working in the nursery at church and have worked in a daycare in the past, my favorite stage is when they've just learned to crawl. I don't know what you would call that. If you would still call that an infant, I'm not sure.
Because you're still like around one. Younger than one.
Yeah.
When they,
yeah. But that's when they're kind of independent. They're learning their independence, but yet they still want to be carried by you.
Yeah.
They still want to be held
and
all that stuff.
And they don't backsash you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're learning their attitudes, and I just think they're cute at that age.
Like, junior high is probably the worst age. Like,
oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when acne is happening.
And the drama.
Hormones.
The drama that surrounds them too. Sometimes it's not even stuff they do. It's the drama around them that finds them that is just heart-wrenching.
Because it's like stuff that they're going through that they're not built to go through, but they think they are.
Right.
And so you try to help them through it. And when you help them through it, they're like, you don't know what I'm going through. You've never, ever been a 13-year-old in your life.
And there are things that you have to let them go through. That's the hardest part as a parent. There that you have to let them fail at things, and that's where you build character. You know, mm-hmm. I remember one time my daughter was so upset. She called me. I was at work. It was 6 a.m. She got the cast list for this play that she had really wanted to be in, and she got this like nothing part. You know, and this girl that she was not a big fan of got the part that she wanted, and she was just sobbing. Because like the girl didn't even really want to pursue this, and Haley did, you know. And I just remember telling her, I said, you know what, honey, I said, these are those moments where it's not about the character you play, it's about your actual character. Ooh. And you have the ability to.
And she'd just seen her dad like screaming, yelling, and
I'm sure that's why why being a parent is so hard, because your kids see you at your worst too, you know. But I was like, you have the ability in this one to where this isn't your favorite thing, like be a champion for everybody else. Like this is the time you didn't get the role you wanted, but be it every practice, give it 110%, and be like that person that is encouraging everybody else, you mm-hmm. know, because I'm like, that will make an imprint on them. It'll make an imprint on your teacher, you know, and maybe we'll get a better part next time. And she, like, after she stopped sobbing and she committed to do that, I was so proud of her because she killed it and she did it through the whole play. And then things got better for her and she got better parts and stuff. But more than just the outcome of getting something different, it was like, I think that was a growing moment. And then that carried her into her college years. She was always pulling for her friends. Her friends would get parts and she's like, I'm so happy for you. And she would celebrate with them. Mm-hmm. And then some of these horrible, freaking gross friends she had. Oh, they make me so mad. They were frenemies and so insecure and into themselves. And like, they would be mad if she had something good happen to her. Mm. And they're like, I'm sorry. I can't just be happy for you right now because I'm hurt. You know what? Shut up, you whiny little baby. Like try to be a human and be nice to
How
somebody.
How did we get here? Like, I don't know.
It just came up because it's hurt. It's
you talked
hurt.
About
it's hurt for my daughter.
Proud of your 4-year-old daughter.
Yeah, and you said too, you know, that you got to let them fail. You know, that's where they learn character. But
doesn't mean you can't bury a body for them.
Oh my goodness! Wow. But what if they're learning costs you money? Like, you know, they're going to fail, or you know that they want to join this thing, and it's going to cost you money, and you know they're not going to be good at it.
Yeah.
But you've got to let them learn. Is it still?
Yeah. I mean, college, for example. Mm. Like, she took a musical theater degree. And I paid a lot of money for a musical theater degree, which I know the odds of that paying off ever is so small, you know?
Yeah.
But it was like, okay, I looked at it this way. I don't use my degree. The degree I got has nothing to do with what I do. And so I kind of figured the college degree is the thing that gets you in the door somewhere. Unless you, like, you can't go be a pharmacist and have communications degree.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you can go into other areas with your degree that gets you in the door. I did well, blah, blah, blah. And it teaches you some of the skills to just be able to interact with people. Mm-hmm. You know, like, her degree could do that. That's where I landed on that, because I'm like, you know, unless she hits Broadway big, it's like you're
in the money.
You're in the money.
La 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 la.
That'd be glorious, but not gonna happen. So.
Broadway sounds stressful, though.
I hope she doesn't listen to the Aftercast.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that she.
That'd be great, but it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just those odds, and I don't know that she's built for that anymore. Like, I think that she's finding her place where she's at in her life, and I'm happy for her. Like, if that's what she does, and she's working at Disney, and if she wants to work in entertainment and work her way up there, that's what a friend of mine did, and now he runs half of Disneyland, you know. Yeah. And if she finds that is fulfilling to her and she's happy, then I'm so happy for her. She is still going on that Beijing audition.
Really?
Yeah.
Next month. Does she have to go out there?
No, she's auditioning here, and then if she gets it, she goes to Beijing like within 3 months or something.
How long
like
would she be out there? Like, would that just be an
8 months, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. So 8 months to a year.
Beijing.
Oh, my wife and I have already said that. If she goes there,
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, we're definitely going. And I'd like to go for like 2 weeks or something to actually stay with her for a little bit. Or go 1 week and help get her situated and set up, and then go back after she's been there a while, has a lay of the land. But yeah, that'd be, I mean, I think it'd be cool. I'm curious if she would take it at this point.
I mean, that's a big change. That's a big life change.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's terrifying, yeah. But that's when you do those scary things, and going with a company that will actually look out for you a little bit so you don't get trafficked is kind of an important thing. Yeah. As a dad, like, that's a thing to me, you know, going with a big company that has things set for you to help you and take care of you. That's a big deal to me. Anyway, all right. I think that is going to do it for our aftercast. And as always, hey, thanks for being a potty.